Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial, and we're focused on your success. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. Here's a reminder that the views, comments, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily, and usually don't, represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and its underwriters. Now, today concludes this year's series on veterans and veteran-owned businesses. And my guests today are Probyn Thompson and D.A. Harris of AirProbe UAV, a veteran-owned business located in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And they're here to talk with us today about drones, about veteran entrepreneurship, and about their business. I want to thank you guys for being on the show with us today.
Great. Thank you very much for inviting us.
Well, and we were just talking before we went on air. You are a veteran. You were both pilots. And now you have your drone business out of Fayetteville, and you are replicating and helping other veterans become business owners. And so kind of give everyone a short bio on each of you, and I'm going to ask Probe for you to start.
All right. Probyn Thompson, and I go by Probe. That was my call sign. An Air Force pilot. I was a bomber pilot, flew fixed wing, and had over 24 years in the service. And then I continued afterwards from fixed-wing manned aircraft into unmanned aircraft. I had a detachment in Afghanistan on the Pakistan border, and that is what brought me along into an emerging technology. It captured me right away when I thought about my first boss in the Air Force had been a POW in Vietnam for 6.5 years.
Wow.
And today, we would never have to put one of our manned pilots in that same situation. And he was just flying over Hanoi taking pictures. So today, the application of that technology that we use in unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, or what we call drones, is something that saves lives. And now we're taking that same military technology and bringing it to the commercial realm. So to help out in civil and commercial applications.
And DA?
Yes. First, thank you for having us. And D.A. Harris, I am a retired U.S. Army officer. I spent 30 years in the Army, and I was also a pilot. I flew attack helicopters, so Cobras, Apaches in that field. A lot of people find it strange when Probe and I, an Air Force guy, an Army guy going together. But we both share the aviation background and experience, and he's a good friend. I got into this based on when I retired from the Army. I went to work for a large corporation. I did that for about 4 years. Decided that really wasn't me. Came back to Fayetteville, North Carolina. Ran into my good friend, and he said, "Hey, we're going to start this drone business." And I said, "Yeah, that sounds good. So let's do it."
So, Probe, when did you guys actually set up your business, AirProbe?
We actually started the process thinking about it in late spring, early summer, and then taking some lessons, learned by others. It has to be a slow, deliberate process. So we went through all of those things that that you can make a mistake or take more time if you have to go back and do it over again.
It costs more to do it over than to do it right the first time.
Absolutely. So we started searching out organizations that provide assistance to new business startups, everything from city, county, state, local economic business development groups that support veterans starting businesses. And so going through those things, you have to, like I say, the devil's in the details. You got to get your tax number.
The devil in the tax manner in the details.
Absolutely. So all those processes. So I'd say really started rolling probably about midsummer. But
of this year, 2016.
Yeah, this year, yeah.
So you are a brand new effort. So what has been the biggest challenge in getting started and making that transition from military to out of corporate? So you've stepped out of two big things.
Yeah,
you were in my first book I wrote was called Out of the Cubicle and Into Business, because it was so different going from the corporate world into my own business, even though I was a business specialist all the way around. It's a big challenge making that transition. So you transitioned military and corporate And now you're starting a business.
And now I'm starting a business. Some people say I'm a glutton for punishment.
So. Or a very brave man, which I think we'll go with that one.
We'll go with very brave then. Look, challenges. Probe and I have talked about this many times. It's almost, as he was highlighting there, we did a lot of work finding people to help. And what I think the most challenging thing was discovery learning. You know, we both came from an aviation background where you kind of had checklists, and you took a checklist and you followed that, and that got you to your end state.
And your pre-flight checklist.
Yeah, pre-flight checklist, exactly. And so what we ended up dealing with on a lot of occasions is we're heading this way, and then we found out, oh, you got to go do this too, and then you got to go do this. And so it's really
what you don't know, you don't know.
Exactly. What you don't know, you don't know, and you spend a lot of time trying to discover things, getting new information, but you know, the biggest thing is just perseverance. Keep going. Keep reaching out to people. Keep asking questions. Somebody's going to tell you what you don't know. It would be nice if it was a checklist, but that has not been our experience.
I do actually have checklists for my clients on that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and one of the funny things is, as we also, because this is an emerging technology,
right?
Many of the counselors and the people that were out there to help us were more used to the traditional brick-and-mortar type business.
Right.
And you want to open up a hamburger stand, a coffee shop, something like that.
Or even a retail e-commerce selling a T-shirt, yeah, or makeup, yeah, or a book,
right,
or whatever. It's very different to combine non-brick-and-mortar, brick-and-mortar, e-commerce, and new technology and create a business model that works.
That absolutely. So that's what we found. So many times just spending the time to make sure that they also understood what the technology is, how the applications have. Now, before I started this business, I was with another defense firm, and it was very difficult to help the more senior executives understand this technology we're taking from the military has civilian applications. And it was funny because they would want to go, and then they go, oh, no, wait a minute. I still don't quite understand. How is this going to work? And it's, gee, we hunted bad guys and collected data over there. Now we're doing the same thing, except they're not necessarily bad guys. We're collecting data.
Right.
And so I find the younger the crowd is, they understand it a little easier.
Or less intimidated about it's anything. You get a smartphone, a 5-year-old can use it, the 50-year-old struggles, right? You know, it's
right.
Like when we had VCRs, it was like your 2-year-old showed you how to use the VCR remote, right? So it's kind of that type of thing too, but it's also an industry that has emerging regulations, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so every day something changes, so you're going to have to adapt your business model to those regulatory changes. Where can you fly? Where can you not fly? Who has to be licensed? Who's trained? What can you use it? Can you fly it over the fairgrounds? Can you fly it near the airport? No, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
All those kind of things, right?
Matter of fact, the FAA, and let me preface, the FAA, their responsibility is for safety first.
Correct.
Not necessarily to promote or help business, although they don't want to be a hindrance. But we have the most congested airspace in the entire world. So in many ways, we are lagging behind many other countries in the world in the application for the business world. So a couple of years ago, it became so bad, and the FAA, certain industry leaders felt that they weren't moving quick enough, that you had the CEOs of Amazon and some of the other large corporations go to Congress and testify and
right,
point the finger at the FAA and go, hey, they're killing us, they're hurting us.
They were like the executives in the firm you were at. They weren't quite getting it because it's a slow to move regulatory, learn new technology, how are we going to adapt, what if something is, and somebody says, we didn't think of that, and now it's our fault, those kind of things.
Well, absolutely. And so you had Congress mandating certain things, hey, make this happen, but at the same time, they were tight on the purse strings,
right?
And so they were not helping out by making the budget available for the FAA to bring new people in and help grow that office. So it was tough on that. I was talking to those guys at the same time. Matter of fact, 3 years ago when we had the international, it's called AUVSI, Association for Unmanned Vehicles, they had the annual meeting in D.C., and the budget was so tight, they wouldn't let the guys come across town And they wouldn't let industry pay for it, and it was right. ridiculous. And they felt, it was tough, but that's just something they had to deal with. So we've got a couple of things that are playing.
So you are a new business. You're both relatively new. Well, you're new to owning your own businesses. You're in new technology. You're evolving all these kind of things, and you're creating a business model for expansion, a business model for learning. So you're doing product sales. You're doing education and training, services type things. And so you're less than a year old. You're 6 months old, roughly, right? And so you're taking huge steps, and you're taking baby steps all at the same time, right? So you're trying to crawl, you're trying to walk, and you're trying to run on all these different fronts. How are you managing the demands of doing all these things? So being working in the business, working on the business, dealing with regulatory things, all of those kind of things. D.A.?
Very carefully.
Oh, man,
well said.
No, look, we've gotten a lot of sometimes people will look at Probe and I and go, it's so much. But you have to remember our backgrounds. That's the background we came from. So to us, it's you're multitasking. You're not getting a lot of sleep, and there's a lot of things that have to happen. But what we're trying to do is be very deliberate and do it just in time. So everything can happen. I mean, we have this plan laid out, this strategic plan of what we want to build. There's some steps that have to be coming for others. Some of them happen exactly at the same time. We try to, divide tasks as much as possible. Probe will focus on something. I'll focus on something else. We're now looking at maybe bringing another person in because we're to that point where we think we're task saturated, and you got to bring somebody in. But it's just a function. I go back to, perseverance and do you want to make it happen? And you go through the steps that you have to do to make it happen.
You make your plan, you work your plan, and when you get into battle, the plan changes
exactly.
And you adapt.
So you know that. That's good.
Plan survives first contact.
First contact, yeah. Absolutely. Good.
And that's very true in business.
And that's one I think our strongest strength really coming out with that veteran background, because some people, it drives them crazy where you're left, you're right, you're moving, but that's the way it's always been for us as aviators. You never know what the target is or where we're going. We think we know, but something may change. But you're always prepared to move, and you keep rolling. Never stop. Right. Just keep rolling.
You just have to make sure your GPS is giving you the proper location for where you are right now, right? Yeah. And then you have to adapt the path to go forward to where longitude and latitude
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And we got to do, we just call it Asthma's check in the Army. But, we make adjustments. I mean, if you listen to some of our conversations every week, we probably need to be moving this way now and working that piece. And it's tough when you're doing something to actually, you actually have to step back periodically
and
be objective and say, where was I a month ago and where am I now? I did make progress. It doesn't feel like it, but we're moving and it's making the progress.
You have to step back to the 40,000 foot level and look to see where those drones are flying, right?
Exactly.
And say, where are we juggling all these balls? How is this fitting together? What's the landscape look? Which ball do we have to move?
Yep.
And then we go back and get in the details again.
Yep.
And it's kind of like the Lord's Prayer, knowing which things you can change and can't change. And so you have to be adaptable, too. And things, I can't make that adjustment, so let me move. What is it that I can do or we can do as a group or bring somebody else on to help us? Exactly.
So how many days have you said, dear Lord, it's me, keep the line open? Because I just need you plugged in all day long, right?
Prayer is a good thing.
So I have a mug now that says, when the world gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Right?
So
when your business is some frequently, you're kneeling to see what is that next step, because you do just get inundated with all of those tasks. And so what is the biggest challenge you think you're going to face in 2017? Is it adjusting that plan? Is it expanding, bringing that person on and identifying what that skill set you want that person to have? Just what do you think the biggest challenge is? And I'm going to pick on Probe for this one.
All right. Major changes happened with the FAA this year, and that is leading us into a rapid growth, rapid expansion. Prior to the 29th of August, you had to have they called it a Section 333 waiver or exemption to fly, and now we actually have a Part 107, it's called a remote pilot license. So anybody out there that's over the age of 16 that's listening to this can go out and take the test or study for it before you take the test. Take the test, and then you get an FAA certificate as a remote pilot.
So it's kind of like a regular pilot. Now there's a license rather than registering, doing all these things. You're going to have a license that says, I'm a remote pilot, just like I would be a regular fixed wing or chopper pilot. And now I get to do these drones regardless of which drone it is?
Right now, and that's for commercial
for
use.
For commercial use,
I want to stress this. Everybody understands. And this is where I want to say one of the first areas the problems are, because you can go out and today, mom, dad, you can go buy your kid a
you can go to Barnes and Noble.
Anyway,
everybody has a drone for sale.
And get one. But you better make sure that the kid's responsible enough to handle it. And this goes for adults and everything else. And that's why I say it's a problem, is because it's our rogue operators, it's our the hobbyists that can buy these systems that all of a sudden decide, you know, I really would like to have a good close picture of that jet that's landing at JFK.
Right. Which has happened.
Absolutely. And that's what we see more often. So for the commercial industry, that's where that 107 comes in. I think we're for the most part, going to be the safe operators. What could really kill us and hurt the industry is the first time we have an accident because somebody else goes out there that doesn't need that license and doesn't use common sense and has one. And then the FAA is going to come down and slam things to a
shut. Right, because it's... Right. It's a bad actor or an irresponsible person can shift what everyone is responsible. That's kind of the tent. It's kind of like gun ownership.
Yeah.
The bad people that would probably get a gun and do something bad anyway ruins it for everyone that does everything legally, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's the danger with the drones and the UAVs.
But in this case, just to highlight too, you have to remember it's so new that I think in many cases education is going to be a big part of this because a lot of them just don't know. I literally, yesterday I was getting gas, and there was a drone for sale in the Kangaroo
right.
station.
They're everywhere. I mean, there are millions. I mean, at Christmas, it will be one of the top gifts that have been given this year are drones. And it's a scary thing because people don't think there's any danger to it. But you can hit, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do unintentionally to fly a no-fly zone.
Exactly.
You go into the airport, you hit a high-power transformer, you do anything, and then suddenly we've got Homeland Security struggling to find out was that stupidity or was that terrorism, right?
Yeah. Well, they've had a couple of folks that over a few times have dropped a drone into a stadium and hit somebody. And that's just because they don't even understand the technology. It's a radio wave. It has to go from the operator's transmitter to that drone. And when you go below the lip, that radiation, that emission from the radio doesn't go to it. So they don't think about, they just think, oh, I can just fly it down and then fly it back up and take pictures. So that's why it's
we had issues at the fairgrounds this year where people were doing that. And the police were scrambled to deal with things and stuff like that. So you don't, it's education, it's following the registration, and it's something that should have been called rare sense. It's common sense about where you're going to use it. Because you have people shooting them out of the air, too, because that's the other thing. You're flying over my property. What are you doing invading my property, right?
Well, no,
and shotguns are really effective, apparently, because I've seen so many news stories about it.
They're out there, and there's other drone technologies, and we're also involved with that counter drone, you know, for corporations and the military's getting involved, because even groups like ISIS are out there. You know, they may be bad guys, but they're not stupid, and they have a credit card, and they can go out and buy the same drones.
They're well-funded.
There you go, and they put a C4 pack on and fly it across something
small. Or a laser.
Small. Absolutely.
You blind a pilot as he's landing. There's all kinds of dangers that are there. But it's the fact that there are commercial applications, and we think about Amazon wanting to deliver packages, all of those kind of things. But it's more than that. You're not delivering packages. Like you said, you're doing aerial photography and video, things related to real estate, things to collect information and to be able to disseminate information for your clients, right?
Yeah, and that's let me preface while we go into this then. One of the things, and I was brought down 2 years ago to Texas to address the Texas State Bar Association at their annual meeting. And, of course, it was about civil liberties and, you know, the privacy, et cetera.
Right.
And one of my slides I use, it shows an intersection in Sarasota, Florida, where I was visiting my folks, and the intersection had 16 cameras in one intersection. It's four lanes each way. Everyone had one. And where I live down in Fayetteville, there's a plane that flies around 3 or 4 days a week that's there collecting information that's a manned aircraft, but it's there for protection of Fort Bragg right. and other assets. My point being is, folks, DEA, FBI, you know, all the others have been doing this with manned
aircraft. Big Brother is watching.
So, and people will put more information up on their own on Facebook yeah. and all these other sites, but then they all of a sudden, oh, geez, somebody's going to take. So it's not as much the concern, really, as what we need to do is let's be concerned how they're being used, and the laws are out there to make sure that if somebody does something, just like they could right now with a telescope and a camera.
Right.
I think the things what we have to remember, what are the benefits for civil? Think about now, and I don't want to get into any politics, but with the election and the person that has won, he's talking about is doing major civil infrastructure.
Right.
Well, geez, civil infrastructure happens to be one of the largest areas that drones have the capability of assisting in surveying, mapping, where roads are going in, infrastructure inspections, going up and down bridges and on the sides, and the kind of things that are dangerous for a person to do. Now you can do this with remotely by using a sensor, whether it be a camera, infrared, other things, on a drone. Law enforcement. Environmental. I mean, what a great way to go out and see. Is that smokestack, doing something or spewing, fumes? What about that lake over there?
Or natural disasters.
Hurricane
Matthew. Exactly. I grew up in West Virginia. We didn't know how bad it was when they had the flood in June. No one could get in because the helicopters were busy rescuing people. So there were areas that I said, why doesn't anyone have a drone? I was like, why did the news stations not have a drone they could send? Right.
I'll call DM next time
and say, okay, I need a drone deployed in West Virginia so I can figure out who's still standing.
The mayor of Garland asked us to come out and do the same thing, take pictures of some of their roads that were coming in and out. It was taking some of the connections or the roads that normally you could have gotten from there to Clinton in 45 minutes, now took hours because you had to go back and around. So we have a number of pictures up on our website. Please go to www.airprobeuav, that's one word, airprobe, that's with an E, UAV.com, and you'll see some of the pictures we have up and a lot of those from the for first responders, what they would have used in a natural disaster. Other commercial, agriculture. We are an agricultural state. $32 billion projected as being what drones will be involved in bringing to agriculture. Bank of America has estimated that up to 80% of commercial drone operations and potentially up to $82 billion by 2025 will be contributed by activities from drones. There was a gentleman at an expo that we went to, and this was great. He came out, and he dressed up and with a farmer's hat and overalls and had a pitchfork. And
he was the Americana guy, yeah. The Americana painting. Okay.
Yeah, and everyone laughed, and he said, okay, this is what you guys think a farmer is, but let me tell you what it is. And he takes his clothes off, and he's got business attire, but he's casual on, and then he shows slides how he and his three sons have thousands of acres in their farm. I think it was out in Iowa, was it? And everything, the drones.
Idaho.
Yeah. And they're using drones. Even your John Deere tractors. I mean, think about it. They're being operated by GPS.
Well, they actually have a lot of new equipment that is coming out that is completely automated, that the farmer stays in his house and drives it through drone technology and unmanned technology. And so he's reducing his workforce and all those kind of things because they're going to be running it.
And this is important because everyone needs to understand drone is a small piece of the circle of technology. And then the drone actually falls in between robotics and self-driving cars are a big deal out there now, and then the Internet of Things. And then drone is kind of a circle that between the two of those. So this is not, the drone, you could just say, is a robot that flies. But this is about robotics. This is about Internet of Things. This is about technology. This industry is that it's just going to explode.
Right. And it's not something we can hold back through any way, shape, or form. It's here. It's arrived. We just need to leverage it and make it happening the right way. And I wrote myself a note. I got a couple people I got to connect you guys to that have been on the show.
No more than you would have wanted to hold back the airplane. It was the Wright brothers.
Oh, a lot of people probably did want to hold back the airplane. Yeah, so,
absolutely.
So if man was meant to fly, God would have given us wings. I believe was probably a quote from that time frame. So
my mother used to say, "The Lord said, and lo, I will be with you always."
Love your mama. but you think about it, and think about the pace of technology, and we frequently, in our regulations, either over-regulate, we under-regulate, or we regulate in the wrong way. So is that one of your challenges, one of the opportunities that you guys are looking at and trying to navigate that, well, what if it goes this direction? What if there is an event? What if the government says no to this, or you can't do this, or whatever? Is that one of your biggest concerns going forward?
Yes. I mean, here are the risks that we think are out there. One is what you just hit, and that's the regulation of this. Part 107 came out in August. It doesn't cover everything.
Right.
Everybody in the industry knows that. What it does do is it puts down a benchmark, and for the professional operation guys, the guys who are going to do this in a more professional wings, I think it will work fine. The next one becomes this concern we have is the safety, which right. is the rogue operator or the unprofessional
the
or
cowboy.
The uneducated person
right.
who causes this event to happen, which now causes more regulations to come down. What we're really trying to do, I think, to balance that is balance the fact that we came at this from guys that flew manned aircraft down to drones. A lot of your drone operators are coming from hobbyists up to drones.
And so I thought you were going to say from computer games.
Computer
games. This is the new, for a lot of people, this was the sort of the natural evolution. They were on there doing things on the screen, and now they have a drone that they can do things with, and it's taking it to that.
Yeah, and those, I think what, this is my thoughts. I think how this would balance itself out, I believe the event will happen. I think
inevitable.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It's not when, is it? I mean, not if, it's when.
Right.
And I think then more regulations would come down, but the individuals who have set up professionally, operated professionally, have the connections with the FAA locally, are asking the right questions to the towers and everything else that 107 says you have to do. You know, my hope is they survive, and then the cowboys, you move on to something else.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to WCOM FM 103.5 Chapel Hill in Carrboro, and this is Focus on Business, and we'll be right back talking with Air Probe about drone technology and their veteran-owned business. Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial, and we're focused on your success. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care and you underwrite our programs. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial. And now back to Focus on Business. And you're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM 103.5. My guests today are D.A. Harris and Probe Thompson of Air Probe UAVs out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. It is a military veteran-owned business. They are both pilots, and they are now drone pilots, too. And so we're here talking about the challenges of being a business that's less than a year old, working with new technology, new regulations, and a constantly evolving field of business. And so my question to you is that with all those risks and those kind of things, and you're leveraging others to help grow your business and helping veterans start their own businesses, what's the wisdom that you're sharing with these businesses that you're trying to work with the challenges and the opportunities you see with creating a business model that's incubating other businesses.
Now, that's one of the things we're focusing on is trying to provide, share some of that information that we have gone through to make it that much easier. Again, as aviators, we are kind of used to a checklist mentality. And when we went out and went to many of the groups, organizations that are there to assist businesses in the startup phase, we found that wasn't, you know, quite so. And so we, the things that we...
You mean the experts really weren't experts?
Well, yeah. And let me say they're all great people. And they have different focuses. So we want to take the lessons and learned that we feel are very relevant to the practicality.
Right.
Not an
application.
Academic. There you
not
go.
Theoretical to application. That's
absolutely
where my heart's been for the past 14 years.
And
there's a lot of theories out there, but yeah, they disappear when you engage in battle too.
And exactly, academic. So that's where we go from, exactly, as we learn to be pilots in a classroom, and then you take it out and you go out and you exercise and you train the difference in education, and then practice for the real world. You gain that experience from other individuals and then your own. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to be able to share that. So we say don't discount anybody right away. Use everything that's available, but we'll try to help you refine that so you're not spending as much time in areas that aren't there. Find those people that have done it. Find people that have been successful in business in general, because many of those things will transfer over. And then, you know, many folks in business have the opportunity to go to an organization, a trade organization, that has the information specific to that. That's very new since we're an emerging technology. So we found an organization, SkyEye Network, that does the same thing. It's excellent. It's focused on helping businesses specifically in the drone industry. And so by sharing that information, that knowledge, and also leveraging assets, therefore we know everybody's been trained to a specific level. And if I need somebody that's in Georgia or I've got a larger job, I can call out and say, hey, I need pilots. We got a job for five extra pilots, you know, down in Georgia or whatever. So, getting that experience, stay focused, but then take action. Don't play office. You got to get out there and do things, and make sure it's if it's outside your comfort level, you have to break that comfort level and expand, have new areas. But you got to get out there and find out what the customers need, provide good customer service, and as we said, don't shortcut things, but always push. When you talk to different people about what a drone is, to everybody that we talk to, they have a different concept, a different idea. So listen carefully also, because you talk to the farmer, all of a sudden say, wow, I hadn't thought about that, or the, from medical or whatever. You know, somebody sees a different application that it can use, and we see this all the time.
Well, and I'm going to attribute it to DA's mom. She's probably said, well, you've got two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you're talking, right?
Exactly.
Especially in selling and those kind of things. Those wisdoms from the generations. So what has been what was your biggest challenge or mistake, the thing you've had to redo or the things you've had to rethink in getting started about? Is your business model what you thought it was going to be? Was it finding that first client? Is it funding the growth of the business? Is it back to the regulations? I'm letting them look at each other here because there's
above.
that checklist, right? So the fact that there isn't a checklist, the fact that things don't translate to every business the same way, those kind of things are creating your own structure, I guess, right?
So it goes back to, you said, the different risk. For example, regulatory risk. We mentioned that already. So that has had a great impact on what we can actually do different from what the technology allows. So there are certain areas based on where you are next to an airport.
Right.
And if you're in that area, that control zone, you can't do the same thing that I could do possibly here in Carrboro, since there's no major airport close by. So the industries will open up, and those are some of the things that we've had to look at, is which verticals, which business lines are the most available or the low-hanging fruit to be able to move into now. as things open up and regulatory and changes and other things, then we'll be able to move quicker into other areas. So, yeah, we have had to do a lot of shifting, but you know, that's part of that's business.
Yeah, it's an issue of, you know, because it ties back to the next one too. It's an issue of networking also,
right?
And finding one of the things Probe does extremely well is he will stop and talk to anybody. So he saw this big farm. I won't say we're in North Carolina. He pulled off, and we've flown this guy's farm a few times now, and it's interesting to watch his mind slowly develop around what these things can actually do to improve his ability to farm. I mean, because it's so new technology, and so that kind of when you look at the basic numbers, and I'll throw a few figures out here just so people understand the volume of this. 2016, the total available drone market worldwide is $127 billion.
Probe already with a B.
With a B. I always stress the B. The infrastructure piece being about $45 billion of that, and agriculture being about $32 billion, that piece. And so when we first jumped in this, and you'll see it, I mean, everybody kind of goes real estate.
Right.
And that'll be the place. What we then step back and did is you start to do the analysis around your business plan. What you realize is that the market is saturated with multi-rotor systems.
Right.
So that's what's mostly flying out there, quadcopters, hectocopters, all these different things. There are some fixed wings, but it is not heavily populated. But when you start talking about long linear infrastructures that have to be inspected, large areas that have to be inspected, a fixed wing is going to give you more time. It can do it faster, and it can stay
stable.
The quad is stability depends on, you know, the airframe.
We'll
get to that. But yeah, it can provide you more coverage, and so that's one of the adjustments we made. Okay, it's like quadcopters are great. We got quadcopters, but we really need to get into this fixed wing side of the market because all the studies are saying this is where it's going to grow. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time working with an OEM to get ourselves positioned so we can bring some of the best fixed wings that are available as products out there.
And that raises an interest because UAVs are not cheap, right? And so a challenge for a new business is frequently funding those businesses, those infrastructure investments and things like that. So have you had, you know, 88% of small businesses say they want to grow, but only about 40% of them have access to the capital to grow. Is that a challenge you guys are looking at? Or were you independently wealthy when you left the military?
No, neither one of us, I think, hit that. But yes, that's something that we've been working on from day one. And you have to constantly ask and knock on doors. And there are many different sources out there. Don't let that first answer dissuade you from moving ahead. You have to continue. And if you're part of a group like veterans, well, there's organizations out there that will focus on.
Yeah, there's venture VCs that do nothing but fund veteran businesses.
So. Exactly. So you know, we've looked at that and some other areas.
But it's interesting because we know that, and we've gotten some. We just now moved for some funding, and we're moving the finish up for a big veteran funding piece. But it's what we said in the beginning. What we wanted to do was, okay, what can I self-fund? Of course, I didn't come out of the Army independently wealthy. But what can I self-fund and be deliberate about this? Because jumping out in our minds and getting this huge loan and not really having the plan in place, you know.
Not having the commercial customer paying the bills creates the issue.
Creates the issue. So just in time is what we've tried to do. So now it's time, and so now we're making that big push, and we're working with, you know, one of the economic developments, and they changed their name, the veteran one. I can't remember what the change is now. But, you know, we're going to be submitting the paperwork, you know, to see if we can get that line of credit and then work from there.
Now, that's also had a direct impact on which market that you move into when you talk about the cost. Now, somebody can start low cost with a simple quadcopter for, you know, $1,200, $1,300 and move up if they're just doing real estate and some pictures. think about, though, if you move, let's say, oil and gas.
Right.
Oil and gas is a great area where there's going to be a lot. But now you're talking about a more expensive unit, and it's really a lot about the sensors that are on board. You know, we've been focusing talking about drones, but what you really have to remember is that we're capturing data, and that data depends now, you know, what is the customer's requirement? So if it's oil and gas, and they're looking to, there's a couple things. It could be simple inspecting a pipeline,
right,
all the way to looking for minerals on the surface that would indicate certain, you know,
likelihood of oil under, and gas underground. I come from West Virginia.
There you go. So different sensors might, multi-spectral cameras, hyperspectral, et cetera, and that raises the cost. So we can go from $1,300 all the way up to, we have some of our fixed wing, they're close to $100,000. But again, if you compare that to the operation lifetime cost of manned aviation, it's still much less expensive. So this, you know, the drones from the air to, you know, what's going to even be larger, and we're not going into that, but think about just vehicles.
Right.
I mean, they already had the first test. I think it was Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch. They drove an 18-wheeler with a guy just sitting in the back watching, delivering beer down a highway.
Well, and we had on the show a few weeks ago a friend of mine, Mary Ellen Randall. She's with IEEE, and her husband, Grayson, had been part of the team that created and competed with unmanned cars that had to do certain things, go through certain routes, and they were in that competition. And so they were in the semifinals of doing that several years ago. And so that, and they're working on robotics projects with IEEE and stuff like that. So we know that technology's there. It's rapidly coming on, and it's new things. But it also raises another issue for a business like yours in the insurance and risk type thing, because you're insuring your operations. What if it runs into a building? What if it falls and hits somebody on the head, like you said, at the thing? How are the insurance industry receptive or not receptive to what they perceive as the risks of this type of industry, this new technology, these new applications and things like that?
That's a great question, because it is so new to them also. And if anybody knows anything about insurance, it's all based on data, metrics,
right,
that have existed in the past. They know when we're going to die, when we'll get sick, et cetera. So, you know, so those analytics are there. Now, for this industry, it's not.
Right.
So we are insured, but we had a talk with actually the guy that directed that part of the aviation for drones in his insurance company. And to be able to, you know, convince him, you know, of flight time and what you're doing and fixed wing versus. So the bottom line, the answer we've gotten is, yeah, we're probably going to be higher, because we're taking risk we don't know right now.
Right.
But over time, as more and more data comes in, flights are being done, then, you know, prices will start to go down.
But it's also on things that's like, if it gets hacked, if there's a malfunction, if, you know, it's operator error, if it's all of these different kind of things. And so insurance industries are not truly good at insuring about the true unknowns. They're statistically insuring about the world that they know. And so your umbrella liability, all of those kind of things are things that frequently businesses, when you're going into new technology and stuff, don't think about that cost and build it into their business model. And then you have to adapt based on what is insured and what's not insured.
That's one of the first things we threw in there, and the numbers are there. But, I mean, think about it. A manned aircraft has to have an airworthiness certificate. Drones don't.
Right.
So you can have somebody build something in the garage versus something that's been flown hundreds, thousands of hours and tested. So a lot of those things will change also over time as more data comes in and restrictions. And there will be, I'm sure, a airworthiness requirement certificate in probably within the next couple of years with the FAA.
So you're in an exciting mode. Just getting started. So what does your five-year plan look like? How, you don't have to share it all, but just kind of give us a flavor for this, because you're less than a year old. You're in new technology. We've been talking about all these challenges and all these opportunities you have. So what are you and DA sitting in the back room when you're not sleeping, because you've got so many things to get done, thinking about for the next 5 years for the company? DA?
You want to start? Go ahead.
Okay. We started with our vision. Our vision is to be a leading company in the drone fixed wing product sales and services, fee for service industry throughout the country, leveraging operators and through a network that we can provide to both commercial, civil, and government agencies. That in itself means that we need to, there's a couple things that drives us, making sure that we have the equipment and the operators available. On the equipment side, this industry and the technology is going to change rapidly. So how have we addressed that? We've gotten involved with a number of universities. We're working with the folks over at NC State.
Right.
You have to look down the road because what's out there today will be completely different in just 18 to 24 months. The other side is making sure that we have people that are trained up to what it's going to be. Some of those, that's another reason why we go to veterans. But they're starting now to teach this in universities and colleges. One of the best examples, West Point and Virginia Commonwealth University. There was an article written by a gentleman, Mr. Jeremiah Karpowitz, who is the executive editor for Commercial UAV News, and Mr. William Stewart, who is a instructor at Virginia Commonwealth, said, "We want to integrate all the technology that's available to us so that students can really get an understanding of how to acquire, process, and interrogate the data rather than learning how to use a complex program or device. What matters more are the workflows and the data sets and how we answer questions associated with those data rather than the intricacies of specific hardware and software. The bottom line is professionals, students, and teachers are learning how to focus on getting what they need from drone data sets and what they can do with it. Ultimately, that's the only thing that matters, regardless of the setting." So if you didn't capture this, bottom line is it's the data that we collect. The platforms will keep changing just like planes did, but it's the data. If we don't provide the data that the customer needs, the data that the guy from infrastructure needs is completely different than what the farmer needs, and we have to present him the data in the format that he needs.
DA?
Yeah, I was going to... Let me just take the what we consider the divisions, the verticals that we're focused. So, obviously, we're focused in this commercial fixed-wing piece product sales, and what we're trying to develop is a nationwide ecosystem of resellers that are providing this high-quality product to people.
The actual UAV, drone.
The actual UAV first. That's one of our divisions that we're focused on. The next one is, Probus said over and over, is the fee-for-service piece. That's where we have the operators. That's where we go out and do the data collection. Obviously, if we're focused on fixed wings, although we do provide, real estate and things that the quadcopters are going to be more suited for, we're actually looking at infrastructure. We're looking at agriculture. We're looking at transport. And so we see ecosystem of resellers, an ecosystem of service providers across the country that are using our products and providing, this data that ultimately, give you discussion. Military, we call it backwards planning.
Right.
So what we always start with is, what does that customer need? What does that farmer need? We just had Hurricane Matthew go through.
Right.
And the reason I'm giving... A cotton field, 100 acres. He thinks he has to just roll over because it's not going to be
plowed under.
Just plowed under because it's not going to be profitable to do it. Well, the way they do it now is they walk out in the field, they kick the cotton, see what will come off the stem, and then they go back, call the insurance guy. He comes out and does the same thing. Well, walking in the field, you're not walking the entire 100 acres.
Right.
However, if you introduce the drone into this, we could probably help you make a better decision as to what to do with that field. There may be a portion of it that's fine. I don't know what that answer is, but that's the point. So,
but you're saying don't look at one data point where you can easily reach it.
Exactly.
You look at all the data points across all 100 acres to make a more informed decision.
More informed, more timely decision making. That is exactly what we get back. So, the three things: the ecosystem of resellers, the ecosystem of service providers, and then an education of what a drone is and what it can actually do for your industry.
And what it's allowed to do.
And what it's allowed to do, obviously.
And that data collection, what they're teaching in the schools now, is so important. Everything from agriculture, which our schools here in North Carolina are doing a great job leading the way, Kansas State, other schools that are involved with agriculture, but teaching how to use that data, whether it's in agriculture or in think about the oil and gas industry again, and environmental. I mean, now by using these autonomous drones going through, that leak that may have detected a week later is now being flown every day. And right away, by using specific sensors and data, they're able to say, hey, we got a leak here.
And you're focused on the air drones, but there are unmanned vehicle type drones that people are using for other applications.
Absolutely.
Underwater vehicles. Underwater. There's all that kind of things. Yeah. So there's all of this. While you're in one segment of emerging market, there are other people doing similar things with the other technologies. And so as businesses, we need to be thinking about what is it that drones could do, this technology, whether it's air, sea, or land.
Can we do it?
This is the right? So it's different. So it's like if you think your pond is contaminated or something in there, you could put an underwater vehicle in. If it's something you want to look at your 100 acres of cotton to see how badly damaged it was by a hurricane, you can assess that. There's just technology. We have to rethink our business models for data collection. If I'm a mall and it's Christmas and we're doing traffic and we need security things, there's all kinds of applications that come into play. And I'm one of those people that are always looking for the next application. So it's looking at that and saying, where can we take advantage of new technology to take our businesses to the next step?
Absolutely. There are synergies here that have got to happen. Security protocol is probably one of the big ones. Let's say you get some large factory facility that you're trying to secure. Obviously, drones are going to fit that piece, going to help with that piece. There are going to be some ground robotics that have to be integrated. And what you know, it's interesting because I've had this conversation with a few businesses, and ultimately in the military, that's what I did. Air ground integration is what I did. And so now when you tell me you got all these robotic pieces, and how is the ground piece going to complement the air piece and vice versa, it's all a part of working that integration, finding synergies. Don't ask the drone to do what you should ask a ground vehicle to do, and vice versa as you go that piece. So you're spot on. I mean, that will become the challenge. And the other piece that's out there is as the software and the analytics, the back end, as we call it, develops, that will become even more critical because right sensor, right software, right analysis, data presented to you
right
in a
vehicle.
Format, right vehicle, right. In a format that you can make decisions.
For example, in golf courses right now, they can provide that information. So the golf course manager gets it downloaded to him, and then he sends John on his cell phone through the app, says, go to hole 18, 125 yards down. We got bare spots there. And then over. So it's that type of stuff that exactly delivers.
Or you're looking at, you know, yesterday Ohio State had the attack, right? The knife attack.
It's very sad, yeah.
It's hard to, on a campus, I went to Ohio State for my master's, that large to have, they were blessed that they had a policeman
absolutely.
That was doing something else. He was looking for a gas leak at the time and was equipped to run and do it. But more and more, those types of, let's call them compounds for want of a better word, are responsible for providing security. Where you can't have a man everywhere, you can have a drone circling on certain patterns and looking for different things and identifying weapons and identifying things just from, you know, recognition software and
even,
things like that.
Even in the first responder community, they're now starting to grasp this. And I can't remember where it was where the policemen were ambushed. But
In Louisiana.
Was it Louisiana? Think about this now. Had those two guys, when they got out of their car, they're on foot looking for a bad guy.
Right. If they deployed their Batman drone, because Batman always said that he could send signs out, right? It's that kind of, it's thinking about where can we have a lower cost, reduce risks, deploy things. And so first responders frequently have to have, and you guys in the military know, the first guy show up when IED has gone off or something's happened, but there's another one waiting behind to get the responders coming in to help their fellow soldiers and things.
Yeah.
And so it's thinking through those scenarios. And I think the more that we can take technology, think through those scenarios, ask those questions, and then you know, as a marketplace, demand that and pull in that from regulatory changes to all of those kind of things to make technology work for us.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something because I love the scene, and I wish I had it here to show you. One of the conferences, Probe, and I went to, the guy opened his speech up with the beginning of the Jetsons.
Right. Well, and it's we're approaching that where George Jetson's in his little Jetsonmobile, and Elroy spins out, and Judy goes this way, and Astro is at home, you know, asking the robotic maid to do something. But we have to think that, and in businesses like yours, veteran-owned business that are there on the cutting edge of technology, taking what you've learned out of the military to lead organizations to help other veterans start business, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for being on the show today. Give them how they can get in touch with you, your website again, and we're at the end of the show, actually.
Yeah, well, two things if
okay.
I can just
two yes, plus.
www.airprobeuav.com.
Right.
Is where
one
you can
word, airprobe.
Airprobe UAV, all one word. Also, one of the things we're doing for veterans is we started workshops. And we have a workshop on the 1st of December, Federal State School of Business. And you can reach out to the Veteran Business Center there. And
it's at the community college, or is it
at the university?
At the university, Federal State university. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a workshop, and the name of the workshop is How to Start a Drone Business.
All right, and thank you guys for both being on it.
So they can contact info@airprobeuav.com for an email. Just send an email. We'll tell you what time, what building, how to register. Info@airprobeuav.com.
1 December is in the evening, 6 to 8:30.
So that's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Yep. All righty, guys. Thanks you for being on the show with us today. And everyone, as always, stay focused on the important things. She has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com.